Think you know politics? Think again. Welcome to the Devil's Advocates.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, broadcasting from the world headquarters, glorious Madison, Wisconsin. It's damn near summer out there. We should take our shoes off and run in the grass if there were any grass outside.
Turn on the sprinklers.
I got the finest of guests. He is Dr. Harvey K. Yeah, let's go play in the sprinklers, Harvey. Harvey, we're talking about an economic bill of rights. You were at the Wisconsin State Capitol today with a couple of fine Dem lawmakers, Francesca Hong and Christina Shelton, and they collectively, you and they, are advocating for an economic bill of rights. So, Harvey, as we're going to break, I was asking you, you know, I see a lot of things through the prism of oil policy. And I joined the Army many years ago in the face of a petrochemical war, way back in 1990, just a young, dumb kid then. And then we fought another war. And every war seemingly has its roots in oil policy. So if I believe some of the reporting I've read that this invasion of Ukraine has as much to do with, you know, securing a pipeline to Europe for Russia as it does with anything about, you know, Ukrainian motherhood or bringing it back in the Soviet fold or any of those other things. It's about petrochemical policies. Well, if we're going to have an economic bill of rights, we're going to have to revolutionize. You talked about the Green New Deal. Harvey, how does that factor into the economic bill of rights?
Well, one thing it shows is whether that we needed to save the planet or not. Let's assume there was no global warming, hypothetically. We clearly know that we have to do something about our dependence on the petrochemical industry, on oil itself.
Are we past peak oil? They used to use that term in the 70s. I think we're past peak oil.
Well, I don't know. I'm looking at here. These cars are not all, they're not even all hybrids. So
yes.
Okay. I don't know. I don't know. But I do know the pleasure I get when I'm driving from Wisconsin to St. Louis, down the highway through Illinois, and I see all of those wind turbines. And I think, wow, this is fantastic. I know there are drawbacks to everything, but it tells me that
they kill the birds. You're going to get cancer, Harvey. I'm sorry. Please continue. That probably would not be the case, but that's Trump's.
We have innumerable sources of alternative energy.
Yes, sir.
And we can surely begin to tap them, okay? On an even vaster scale than we do. So I and that would afford us, it would afford many nations on the planet an autonomy from the rule of the oil giants and the rule of the petrochemical countries, right? I mean, think about it this way. For Russia, somebody was telling me, somebody more knowledgeable about the scene over there than I am, was saying, well, it's going to look like it's all about oil because this is going to raise the question of oil and gas. But don't forget, Ukraine is the breadbasket of what was the Soviet Union and or
they're Russia. Like Kansas, all the wheat and a lot of the European wheat is produced there,
right?
Historically.
So, right. So we may actually see, though the prices are going up on oil, it's also the case that people are going to get hungry because they may not be getting the wheat they need for the bread. Let's hope that, you know, that doesn't happen. But there are warnings out, I think, from the FAO that indeed it may have, Food and Agriculture Organization, that it may well be the case that we're going to face some kind of food emergency over the horizon if this situation persists. So, I mean, it's not just oil. It's also, you know, the bread on the table.
Well, and who controls the flow of water, I fear? Water is going to be the next big commodity, you know, as we see diminishment of fresh, free water. Yeah. I mean, you've already got to pay. I got bottled water in the fridge. What a waste, man. It's in the faucet in there for
the
free.
Commodification of everything, you know?
Yes, sir.
And you know, if we were living in Africa, we'd already be thinking in these terms about water. Okay, I mean the expansion of the Sahara Desert south into African countries. You know, I'm not a fan of the southwestern part of the United States. I apologize to any of you who are big fans of that part of the country. I'm a Wisconsinite and an East Coaster. I remember not too long ago when they wanted to tap the Great Lakes with a pipeline to Arizona, New Mexico, and California. Well, hell no, I don't want the water to go, okay?
Yeah.
So it strikes me that we're lacking any kind of national vision and national planning on a whole host of issues. And that's why we need an economic bill of rights to incite a Democratic Party to start thinking big.
And what about the manufacturing sector? Ross Perot, I think, talked about the sound of the job sucking to Mexico, NAFTA. Well,
great,
you know,
sucking sound to the south.
We heard our buddy once upon a time on Lefty Talk Radio, Ed Schultz, talk a lot about NAFTA and his opposition thereof. And many of our fears have come to fruition. The manufacturer sector in America has been decimated. This was a manufacturing state. And the manufacturer Chamber of Commerce, Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce, still has outsized control of Republican Party influence. And we got these huge tax breaks for manufacturers. But Harvey, you know, man, we're still buying all our stuff made in China from a big box store, probably owned by a family named Walton.
What you just said sent my mind reeling back to the early 80s at labor gatherings, where I would be talking to UAW folks from Janesville, and they were telling me how worried they were, not about their industry and about their own workers voting for Republicans. And I said, voting for Republicans? They vote for Republicans, those industries are going to go all the faster. And I happened today to be having lunch with someone, the state representative from Janesville, and she was telling me about what's left of the General Motors plant down there. And I remember Kenosha and Racine, the industries that prevailed there. I mean, we've witnessed this devastation of the of American manufacturing. And by the way, I had thought that inside of Build Back Better, there might have been initiatives to revive American manufacturing by way of environmentally sound means. I'm very disappointed from the past year, but I'm willing to fight for the future.
Harvey, last I heard, the new postal driving wagons that perhaps are going to be made at the Oshkosh Corporation, the ones that Ron Johnson doesn't care about the jobs on, well, those are gas-burning postal carriages. How antiquated is that concept?
Yeah, how antiquated is that? How antiquated is Ron Johnson himself, okay? We ought to be pulling him off the shelf and retiring him immediately. By the way, how does Ron Johnson do it? How does he say the outrageous things he says and get away with it? Tell me that.
Well, I'm not sure that he's getting away with it.
Knock on wood for this year.
Well, this will be a key year for Ron Johnson. And while he was a vulnerable senator 6 years ago when he was up for re-election, obviously, two rounds against Feingold, and he won both fights. But he wasn't crazy back then, not in the same way he is being now, right? Harvey, he's on a one-way ticket to hell, man.
He was a premier corporate Republican who wanted to deregulate and lower taxes, but he has become a loony guy.
You know, we used to have him come around in not this studio so much, but the former studios. He'd often bring beer, stock up the fridge. We'd have reasonable conversations.
Really?
I went to Trump's inauguration on tickets provided by Ron Johnson. And then, of course, I had a wonderful time at the Women's March the very next day. Come back. No more Harvey, but you're going to stick around. The Devil's Advocates continue. Thank you, Dr. Harvey K.
Thank you.